Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We now welcome in a former Browns offensive lineman. You know him every Monday throughout football season. We have him on here, probably enjoying a few adult Pepsis right now. The great Jason Pinkston joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What's up, Pink?
What's going on, fellas?
Not a whole lot, man. Just kind of cruising here. I'm curious here because we probably should start at the obvious place with the quarterbacks here. Who does Jason Pinkston want starting week one at quarterback for the Cleveland Browns?
That's one someone who's going to win us some football games. I really do like Joe Flacco to be the starter, and I think he will be just because of the veteran leadership that he brings to that team and, you know, what he did for us a couple years ago. I think he is obviously the most ready quarterback on that roster right now, and then may the chips fall where they fall, you know, throughout training camp and preseason to see what these other guys can do.
Bing, how much when you played would you have been affected if the team was going, like, when I think about Joe Flacco, I'm like, okay, they're trying to win as many games as they can. Whereas if they throw Kenny Pickett out there, that's more about them hoping that they have something kind of like what Minnesota had last year or what Seattle had with Geno Smith, where it's like, maybe, just maybe, we can get something. But I don't think he's the best quarterback out there. How much, you being in those locker rooms, does that matter to you that when you look and see the quarterback, you're like, okay, I care about X, Y, and Z?
You know, I think it does. Well, I'll put it this way. I think it matters more to those veteran guys who've been around, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. Myself, for me, I was just so concerned about doing my job and not getting anyone killed that I really didn't care who the quarterback was. But if you look at that roster, you know, your Joel Batonios, your Myles Garrett, some of those guys who are, you know, they're getting up there in years and you know, they want to win. And they want to win now. It plays a big part into it. And I just think with those guys on that roster, I mean, we've seen what, obviously, we've faced Kenny Pickett for a number of years. You know, we know what he can do. And obviously, with Coach Stefanski, I think he'll do a great job as a hands-on coach and working with him. I do think Kenny does fit our system a little bit better than he fit the system in Philadelphia or Pittsburgh. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens with him throughout training camp and seeing how many reps he gets in the preseason, along with those younger guys too. I mean, I was at practice on Wednesday last week for the alumni barbecue, and those guys can really sling the ball and throw it. So this process is going to go on probably to the first week for the first week of the season to see who actually really is going to be the starter. But if you ask me, I think it'll be Joe Flacco, and he'll be mentoring those guys and showing them the way to go.
Jason, we're in an interesting spot here where a fair amount, I think the consensus take is the rookies are going to play at some point this year, but it can't be week one. And so, and like people are even saying, well, get through the first 6 weeks and then the quarterback will be better equipped to start after that.
It's me. I'm saying it. Hi, Pink.
I'm like logistically, from a rookie, how much of a difference or what are the differences between week one and starting week one and starting week 6 or 7?
I will say this, and I would have to agree with that. I don't think a rookie will be a starter week one or Kenny Pickett. But, you know, if you get later into the season, you come up to that bye week and you get them prepared, stepping in there week one as a rookie, if it goes bad, it can ruin you. It honestly can ruin you mentally, physically, and it does play a big part on it. I mean, it's a hard league to get into, and there's a lot to learn for a rookie, especially a rookie quarterback. I could see it, you know, someone, whatever quarterback it is, being behind Flacco up into the bye week, and unless Joe comes out there and he's lighting it up and killing it and we are winning games and we're in it, I think nothing will be changed until, you know, later in that bye week.
So did you see the quarterbacks throw at the barbecue, or was that elsewhere?
No, I saw them throw. We got to watch practice. I saw them throw, and they can sling it. I mean, it's
who were you the most impressed with?
You know, it's very interesting. I knew that question was going to be asked. I do like Shador. I mean, I saw him throw some balls into some windows, and it was just like, wow. I mean, he throws a really nice football. But all the guys did well, you know, and obviously it was the last mini camp practice, I believe. So it was kind of fast. It was kind of quick. You know, they were in there a couple balls apiece, but it wasn't, you know, you didn't really get to gauge them, see them do like a full practice and take all the reps with the one. There was rotation going there, and you're not going to really see much. You can, it's more like, you know, like high school when they're doing these 7-on-7 drill or 7-on-7 passes. There's no real pass rush or blitzes being thrown at you. So it's kind of hard to really gauge it. But overall, I thought they all threw some nice footballs and commanded the offense pretty well of the limited offense that they have put in right now.
I think I've been patient since you mentioned it. I'm going to need a rundown of this barbecue.
Okay, so it was catered. It was absolutely fantastic. Brisket, pulled pork, mac and cheese, coleslaw, potato salad, collard greens. They had the works there. I mean, it was a nice event, and I'm so mad at myself because I forgot who the caterer was, but it was phenomenal. Very good.
Did you go back for seconds?
They weren't like stingy with the food, though, were they?
Oh no, it was you go up as many times as you want, but it was so hot that one box was good enough for me. Like it was a very nice day. It was warm. It was hot, so like on a hot day like that, you know, you do 2-3 plates of brisket and pulled pork, and then it's a long 2-hour drive home. So kind of took it easy in that regard.
It'd take a 5-hour drive home, buddy. I mean, I'm just saying, YOLO, right?
I had to get home. I actually had dinner with my high school or my college coach, Coach Wonstad. He was in town for the U.S. Open. He wanted to have dinner, so I was up there, went Tuesday night, went to Browns practice and the barbecue Wednesday, drove home, and had dinner with my coach later that night.
Did you and Wonstad talk Browns at all? He's been everywhere lately.
You know what? It was so funny. He talked about Aaron Shea a little bit. Aaron was he was in Cleveland with me. He was our player personnel development coach on the staff at the time. And Aaron made a comment that, he wanted me to come to Miami, and he asked me two questions. Do I want to catch or do I want to block? I said, I want to catch. He goes, you're not my tight end then. So, yeah, we did talk a little bit of Browns, and I guess there's some Netflix show coming out that he was talking about with Jimmy Johnson and the Cowboys and Jerry Jones. That was very interesting, and I can't say much more than that, but it should be pretty explosive.
I will say it's interesting because Aaron Shea then came to the NFL and all he did was block. With love and respect to Aaron Shea.
Love Aaron to death. He and his son Kinsley were there. I think Kinsley said he goes to Westlake. He's a baseball player, football player, but very, very good guy. He was always great to the rookies and took care of us and kind of showed us the way and mentored us through finances, everything. Aaron's a great guy.
Bing, does it mean anything to you that now we've had Greg Newsom last week on the NFL Network talk glowingly about Shador and how just awesome he thinks he is, and then we've had all sorts of other veterans. I don't know if you saw Ocho Cinco at all, but he basically said what Denzel Ward is thinking in regards to Shador. Is it odd that they all seem just kind of they're in love in many ways with Shador this early on?
I mean, you know what you see as a former player and those guys that are in the locker room, you see all this stuff that the media puts out, and then you meet them and get to know them, and you're in the trenches with them, you're going to war with them. He seems like a great guy. He seems like a nice guy, very, very professional. Spoke nice and talked to the kids. He talked to my son, talked to my daughter, my wife. I mean, it was. He seems like a very good kid, and, you know, when that spotlight's on you as a young kid and you throw NIL in there and you throw he's Deion's son and all the money he has himself, you know, no one's perfect. They make mistakes, right? And sometimes you say things or people they assume things about you, or you're this kind of kid, and you know, you got the flashy jewelry and chains and things, and sometimes people form opinions of people that may not necessarily be true. Then tonight, you know, you get to meet them and talk to them, and you're practicing and going to war with them. Then, you know, you turn out there, obviously, you know, he's a great kid. He got picked up. He's a Brown. So obviously they're going to welcome him in that locker room and try to make him feel comfortable. And they believe in what he's done and, you know, his body of work that he's put in at Colorado. And so I think he's going to be a good kid for us, a good player. And you know, he's surrounded by a good group of guys, and they just got to keep leading him that way.
Pink, we've heard multiple times the Browns going back to the wide zone blocking scheme. I know you played a bit here in Cleveland in that system as well. That was one of Joe Thomas's preferred schemes, if I remember correctly. So just for fans out there, like, what are the strengths and weaknesses, or what are the differences between maybe a wide zone blocking scheme and what the Browns tried to do last year?
You know, I feel like everyone tries to model it behind Mike Shanahan and what he did in Washington. And now if you look at Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco, they're running that same offense, that wide zone, where you really get the defensive line moving. I really do like it. I will say this, Cal did not like me for that offense. When I came out of college, I was in a more of a pro style offense. We ran power, counter, toss, and the league is now getting away from that style of football, and they're more into this wide zone blocking scheme. Now, if you have an offensive line that plays together, that can run and really move the defensive line side to side, it opens up your offense so well with your play-action passes, your boots, your rollouts. And the quarterbacks we have on our team, it fits that mold for them. I mean, it's honestly, when it's working, it's a thing of beauty. But when you have defensive linemen, you know, penetrating gaps, and, you know, a lineman's off by a block or two, or a step, he takes the wrong step, that's when it looks really bad. I love it for us, for the weapons that we have with our new running back. I think that kid's going to be a phenomenal football player for us. We saw what he did at Ohio State. I mean, you look at our tight ends and our wide receivers. I mean, the zone blocking scheme fits us. Now it's our time to produce and really lock in and really run it the right way. Last year we were kind of off kilter. We were just missing something, our identity. But I was talking to Joel a little bit at practice, and you know, they seem to love this offensive line, this new offensive line coach. So it's very exciting. I'm obviously on board, and I can't wait. You know, training camp's about a month away, and we're going to be fully back into the swing of football season and seeing it and watching practices and watching preseason games. I think it could be good for us if we can get the quarterback and the offensive line on the same page. Big Jones, he looks phenomenal. If everyone can stay healthy and we can put something together here, who knows what happens.
Jason, great stuff, buddy. Always great catching up with you. And enjoy the summer. We'll catch up probably right around training camp.
Sounds good, man. Look forward to seeing you guys.
Thank you so much, buddy. Jason Pinkston there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We react to what he had to say about this Brown situation and unlikely. Maybe if you, this might be unlikely, but it's probably real. What the hell am I saying? What are we even doing right now?
You just need me to talk so you can do that one again?
Can you give me a countdown? Yeah, so right, I can erase right, yeah. That?
I'll start with a five. So I really give you some time here. 5, 4, 3. He's in the hurry up offense. 2, 1, go.
Oh, you hurried up on the 3-2-1.
That was bad. That was bad of me. All right. This one's going to be a three count.
Nope. Support for Shador from an unlikely, potentially maybe, source coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. It is kind of interesting how guys who have played the game, like even like recent Browns players, like give me Joe Flacco, guys who have been through the end of their...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
A career, and then you start to talk about young players, and it's very apparent that even some like the middle-aged veterans in the Browns sure like them some Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, they seem like, and this is why I wanted to get all the veterans around, because I just think when the veterans are around, all of a sudden just people start talking and you find out who exactly they do and don't like. And it just last week and into this week now, it just feels like Shador's got a lot of veteran support, Nick.
And so what's interesting about that is the old heads love Joe Flacco. So old heads love old heads.
Mm-hmm.
And I think young guys are like, oh, no, I want because we're going to get into the eventual conversation of who's the locker room behind, because we have some sound on this that we're going to play. But I do think it's interesting that, you know, it makes sense that Joe Bitonio would want Joe Flacco. This is going to be Joe's last year. It makes sense if Wyatt wants Joe Flacco, because it might be Wyatt's last year in Cleveland.
Let's talk about that for a second, though. Like, if you had just 1 year, let's put yourself in their shoes. If you had 1 year, are you doing it with Joe Flacco, or are you doing it with someone? And again, who knows what Shedeur will end up being, but you do it with one of these rookies that, they're much higher ceiling, all things considered.
Oh, yeah, but ceiling, why does ceiling matter to Joel or Wyatt?
Well, because if everything does break right, in their mind, and I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but in their mind, they're thinking Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels in the NFC title game last year. You really kind of go for a boom or bust. What does a 7 or 8 win season do for Joe Bitonio at this point?
I don't think they see it the same way. I think they look at a rookie, and rightfully so, as a boom or bust. You might get Jaden Daniels. More often than not, you're going to get Johnny Manziel.
Right, but that boom exists, though, and that boom is much higher than Joe Flacco's boom at this point.
I don't think old heads in that locker room would agree. And by the way, I'm about to agree with a greater point that we're going to make here, because we'll get to the sound in a second. But from a 1 year prism, yeah, Joe Flacco probably feels the safest because he's a veteran, and because you're going to point to 2 years ago. You and I both think You're building on a house of cards there for your foundation.
Right.
But I guarantee how the older guys think.
Well, and that's the thing, is that you don't need to build on a strong foundation if you're Joe Bitonio. You're one and done. You don't have to care about that's why I think it's an interesting exercise. Like, and I put myself in their shoes. And if it was me, I go for the extreme boomer bust of this scenario. Because the worst thing that happens is the same thing that could happen with Joe Flacco anyway. And you just repeat last year. That's all it is. But with Joe Flacco, 7-8 wins? Does that make you feel good if you top out 7-8 wins?
I don't think they think that's the ceiling with Joe.
What do you think the ceiling is?
The ceiling is 2023 with Joe.
Ooh.
I'm not putting words in their mouth, but...
Well, what do you think?
And by the way, you
think,
and
though?
I agree. I think Joe probably gets you 6 or 7, maybe 8 wins, and that's not really any closer to where you want to be. Even in the sweetheart version of this, I think you're an 8-win team. That's the sweetheart. It's like the pie in the sky. Hey, I don't care about being objective. I just want to be a Browns fan. Give me the 8 wins with Joe. Now, you and I both see that's a very one-sided, one-year philosophy, and no team in the NFL should be built off a one-year philosophy. So I think it's interesting that that's how I feel about Joel Bitonio, and that's how I might feel about a guy like Jack Conklin, probably last couple years of his career. Because if you listen to Chad Ochocinco, he was on the Nightcap podcast, and it sure sounds like some of the younger veterans might not just be all about Joe Flacco.
I got a couple of young bulls out there. You know, I talked to Denzel Ward. I done talked to some people. He looked different. There's a difference when that young bull is out there spinning that ball. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Difference. I'm talking about football. I ain't talking about no media and all that hoopla and all them, you know, on Twitter, they putting up the numbers. Some of he with 10 for 12 for 2 touchdowns. I'm talking about when he's at the helm, he looks different. Whether he's going with the first team, second team, or third team, it don't matter. I understand getting drafted in the 5th round. All that means nothing when it's time to play football and that whistle blows. He looks different than the rest of the competition. That's what I heard. And I'm talking about Not Brother Ward. I'm just talking about from sources that's in that room, that's on that field, that's playing the sport.
All right. So I mentioned Denzel Ward and Greg Newsome.
Yeah, but now I'm not talking about them.
Yeah. You covered your tracks there. We are thrown off the set.
No, yeah, obviously nobody bought it. Sorry, Ocho Cinco.
Listen, I think a lot of this is incredibly early, and I'm sure you agree. On like some of this is like, okay, we get it. There's going to be camps that tamp down the Shador love. There's going to be people who prop it up. I think it's really interesting that before I heard this, I would just assume the vets, which is nebulous, but they're going to want Joe to start. And the more I thought about it, the second he said that, I was like, yeah, if I'm Greg Newsom and I'm going on, what, year five? Yeah, I'm still comfortable in the, yeah, if Shador's the best guy, let's get him out there. And if it takes 2 years to get there, well, we're going to get there. Right? Like even Denzel, who might be a year or two away, we don't know how long a cornerback with that history of health issues has. Even Denzel, and cornerbacks and defensive backs have a great vantage point on what quarterbacks can do.
They know who can play and who can't play.
They're also so removed from the line of scrimmage that you just have a different. It's like the all 22 versus like the TV camera. It's a completely different view on the field and how the ball comes out.
Denzel wouldn't have actually gone up against Shador. Now, it doesn't mean he couldn't have seen what Shador has done in some sort of practice setting and seen his ball come out. But if Shador hasn't done any work with the ones, and Denzel hasn't actually gone against it.
It's a good point.
Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he can't tell. Why do I feel like I made an anti-Shador point there?
Did you stop me in my tracks? Because I'm like, why would you think that?
This
point?
Is how
you
don't everyone always says. To be true. I'm very unbiased in this conversation. So why would I? That's kind of what I'm known for around these parts. Unbiased Shador Sanders commentary.
You heard.
Can we not remember this until a very long time from now that I did bring up the one decidedly against Shador Sanders point in this conversation?
This is equivalent to Ocho Cinco dropping Greg Newsom and Denzel Ward and being like, I got source in that building. Not those two guys I just told you about that I definitely in that building.
Fair and balanced, Jonathan Peterwin.
So now you are true. You are now in the middle ground for Shador. And I guess that makes Daryl the biggest Shador honk on the station now.
No, Daryl can't be anywhere close to the biggest Shador honk. Daryl was.
I think he surpassed you because Daryl would never say that.
Listen, I just
you know who wouldn't. I can't let my Ken biases Carmen would
come,
not let that.
I can't let it come in the way of commentary when commentary exists, and that's just I got to call it how I see it.
I am saying yes, yes, and oh yes.
But it's interesting. Like I think if you go and I don't want to put it, unlike Chad Ochocinco, I'm not trying to cover my tracks here. I would be surprised if Joe Bitonio wanted Shador Sanders to start yet. I'd be surprised if Jack Conklin or Ethan Posick or Wyatt.
How much of this is just attention driven? And I know we shouldn't think about it from this perspective, Nick, because it's an awful way to think about it. But how much is it like Denzel Ward? Like, oh, if Shador Sanders is starting and Shador Sanders is playing, everyone's paying attention to who we are. In a season where they're projected to win 5.5 games in Vegas, you have no primetime games. Not a single primetime game. You know how many primetime games you get all of a sudden flexed in your schedule if Shador Sanders is out there?
One.
A lot more than what happens if Dylan Gabriel's out there, and you know that, and I know that.
It's a good guess. When I said one, I think I saw there's a glimmer in your eye, and you were like, yeah, I think it is going to be one.
No, I thought you were downplaying it intentionally because you know that answer is going to be basically every game that he's in for the first couple weeks that he plays, and then if he's actually winning games, it'll be a lot more.
So you think Shador just starting, that just not the next litany one. Of games
not
are
starting,
going to be...
Not starting week one, because you can't flex in that part of things. But if he gets flexed into... If he starts week 7 or week 8, somewhere around there, I think the first two are instantly flexed into national games. And then if he starts winning games, the more and more and more we go, yeah. He's a big draw. No, I don't have to tell you that.
He is. I just think the idea that the second he goes in the lineup, like three games are greenlit to be flexed, I think is a little optimistic.
I said one or two, probably two.
I felt like you said three or four.
That's not what I said. you didn't say that at all.
But I just think it's really interesting. Like, I don't think Kevin wants Shador to start. I really don't. I think Kevin views the sideshow. I think Kevin's kind of like Tito, like you're either my guy or you're not my guy, and I don't think Shador's his guy yet. So I think to this point in the season, the offseason, I don't think Kevin wants him to start. Nor do I think most of the old heads in that building.
Yeah, I thought Mary Kay today actually was the first sign that I saw like really positive things coming from the Browns directly when it comes to Shador and what he's done in camp. Like some of what she had to say in her article today, I thought was like one of the very few signs where it's like, oh, maybe they don't treat him like he's like some sort of lost cause.
Oh, no, no. I do think, like, I still think he's up against it in a way that Dillon Gabriel, Kenny Pickett, and Flacco aren't. Like, he has to prove 5%
for
more.
Sure. And he's working on doing that. I mean, obviously.
No, he is. But I just think it's interesting that in season, all right, we gotta turn the tables. The easy thing to do is to go to Joe Flacco. Hey, we're 2-6. We can't tell our head from our you-know-what. Put the vet in, steady the ship, right? I think it's interesting that we might not, that might not be how most of the, or all the locker room, rather, is thinking about this.
Well, one thing I find interesting about it is that I don't think Kevin Stefanski cares necessarily what the locker room thinks. I think most head coaches would get a feel of it, and they'd read the room, and they would measure the temperature of the locker room. And you could have all these people coming up and being like, play this guy, play this guy. Stefanski's given us no signs that he cares or has any sort of influence in what his decision is.
See, what's interesting is I think Stefanski needs to pay incredible, incredible amounts of attention.
I'm open to him doing a reverse course of what he typically has done, but typically we've not seen him do that.
No. Well, but I think the reason why this is a year that matters is we can get into all the brass tacks and all the millions of scenarios that could happen this year. I think the number one way that Kevin actually does get fired is if he loses the locker room. There's never been a more important season to listen to your veterans and listen to your locker room in general and look at, all right, who do they gravitate to? Who's the guy that when that guy's in the huddle, things snap into gear? I like, to hell with what anybody's being paid, where they were drafted. This, if you want to have any chance to survive with those guys who are already been, a lot of those dudes, same guys that were in the locker room when you went 3-14, the only thing you should care.
I know.
Should care.
And this is one of the first times in a while that he's gotten a chance to actually prove that he can do that, because the last 3 years, he's put out there a guy that nobody in the locker room liked in Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, but they would have liked him if he played better. Nah.
Yeah.
He can say that about anything.
He says smiling.
Does the locker room want Shador to start? This is June.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Whatever, we're playing something of Ocho Cinco, not necessarily Albert Breer himself. I just think it's interesting. It did challenge a little bit of the way I had previously thought about it, of the idea of, man, there might just be some young guys there, or younger veterans, or even guys who are maybe halfway through their career. It's like, well, yeah, I want to build something with somebody, not a bridge to nowhere with Joe Flacco.
Well, what I thought was really nice and refreshing about it was that it wasn't somebody just saying, we like Shador the person. We get a lot of that. We like Shador because of who he is. We like Shador to be around as if he's a good hang. It was him talking about what he liked about actually seeing him play football. And that, I think, goes a long way, Nick.
Does the locker room want Shador to start? You heard what Ocho Cinco said about Shador looking different in Browns camp on the Nightcap podcast. And as we have a couple calls on this, including our guy Thomas. We'll get to that as well. But a new, different, and yet somehow the same way of looking at the Browns quarterback spot coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
There's only one man with the knowledge to criticize and the power to let it slide. It's time for this week's Peterlin Pass.
The Peterlin Pass this week is going to go to the Red Sox ownership. They're going to have a hard time beating the Chargers, but I'm going to go ahead and beat the Chargers for them. Everyone's complaining about this being a financial decision, and some people, including people on this radio station, that did not call him Rafael Devers and instead called him Rafael Devers. You go ahead and take the guess on who that was. You want to guess.
The real baseball fans?
Now you want to guess.
The real baseball fans?
Yeah, the real baseball fans. Rafael Devers gets moved over, and
I thought it was Devers.
The reason why I'm going to give the Red Sox group in particular a pass is people were focusing on the idea that this is all about money and this is just the only reason why this is gone and the Red Sox are being cheap, and it's the same thing that happened with Mookie Betts all over again. The pass belongs because Rafael Devers didn't hold up his end of the bargain. When they first got Alex Bregman, and by the way, gave him $130 million, they paid a lot of money for Alex Bregman. The idea was that Devers can't play third base. He is just absolute trash defensively. Then they move him to DH. He accepts the DH role. They have an injury at first base. They ask Devers to play first base. Like, we have an opening here. We need your help. Devers says, I don't play first base. I only do what I'm told, and I play DH. You're being a bad teammate. You're being bad to the Red Sox. Ergo, you don't belong with the Red Sox. This is not just a cost-cutting move. That got the headlines, but it's not true. This is about a player not living up to his end of the bargain in the richest contract the Red Sox have ever given out, Nick.
So I think it's time. This might be the first time we've done the Peterlin pass that I second you. Because it's absolutely true. Listen, the Fenway ownership group is absolutely more cheap now than they were a decade ago. Absolutely true. And there's a million reasons why that could be. Not really my job to say. So they are a cheap organization. And what they did for Mookie Betts will go down as one of the 20 dumbest moves in baseball history.
Betts, you could throw Bogarts in there too.
By the way, Bogarts, Devers, and Mookie are not in the same category to me. Mookie is a starting caliber player in right field, left field, second base, shortstop.
He starts wherever you want him to start.
And by the way, his bat is MVP quality. Like, Rafi has been a all-star level player.
So Rafi,
he's
Rafi
not been
is
a consistent MVP caliber
no,
player.
No, Rafi's a top 10 hitter in the sport. The problem that Rafi has is that he's miserable defensively, so he gets no upside attached to any of that at all. He is on a legitimate Hall of Fame trajectory. And so I got why he wanted to play the field, Nick, because anytime you play the field, even though as bad as he is, it adds to your wins above replacement. It adds to your value overall. And so 9 years from now, it'd be much greater if he got to play in the field. But the problem is he stinks defensively.
I mean, and I'm not trying to go numbers to numbers here. He's had one season above a 5 WAR. And 5 WAR is like an all-star caliber player, by the way.
Because he gets nothing defensively is the problem there.
No, I think
offensively, he's awesome.
It's usually been like a zero. Like, looking at his I'm going to do this.
Are you going to do it?
His last 4 years, his WAR, his defensive WAR, has never been more than minus one. So not good, because it's never been positive. But it's not. I think my point is, like, he's a really, really good offensive player. I don't think he's the same offensive player Mookie Betts is, and he's sure as hell not the defensive player.
No, he's not Mookie, but he's been top 20 in MVP voting in each of the last four seasons, top 15 in three out of the last four.
14, 11.
He's there. He's there. And offensively,
I mean, Kenton Bottenfield was like fifth in a Cy Young
once. He slugs 500 plus every single season. Like, he hits. That's what he does. He hits.
No, he's a really good player. I don't think he's a great player. He might be a great hitter, but he's not a great player. Am I splitting hairs too much there?
No, if you want to put him in your hall of very good, that's okay. Listen, he's not there yet. The point is that he needed as much help as he can get to get there. And so he needed to play every day so he can accumulate some of the WAR that comes just playing defensively. I think this is honestly why he got so mad about the thing. Because he knows when it's all said and done, he's going to be on the fringe. If he continues the path that he's had right now, he'll be on the fringe, and he needs some extra oomph attached to that.
What's crazy about it, though, is you got a better chance at having. I'm sorry, first base is just a million times easier than his third base.
I mean, from
I say
similar
that is that
batters,
that's the two places I played because they weren't putting my slow fat ass out in right field anymore.
Yeah, these similar batters through age 27 is Nolan Arenado, Manny Machado, Adrian Beltre, Ron Santo. Like, they are. He's in the class of, I mean, Beltre's a Hall of Famer. Sano's a Hall of Famer. Scott Rolen is actually his third best match. That's a Hall of Famer. He's playing in that stratosphere from an offensive standpoint.
He just
needed to keep it going.
One, it wasn't a great contract given the fact that he doesn't always take the best care of himself and he's a bad defender. Two, the second you become a bad, if you already have an arguably rough contract, which people have said about Rafi since the second he signed the deal. If you already have that, and then you become a me first guy, and act like you're trying to play the game,
and that's the problem here.
That like it's a no go for me. And here's the thing, I do think Rafi's going to have a harder 30s than maybe a guy like Mookie would, a guy who.
Yeah,
he's a smaller frame and honestly takes better care of himself.
Yeah, I mean, he's not Mookie. No one's trying to make the case that he's Mookie.
My point was, like, I could see I could see a year from now looking up and being like, Rafi just went from the 13th best hitter in baseball to the 30th best, at which point he's not worth $35 million a year. and oh, he's a bad teammate, or at least that's the way this comes off. And it's wild that that's the one defense the Red Sox actually should have in this. He's been a first-class pain in the butt.
It's what I would be using if I were them. It's what I would be using. And I'd be telling everyone to the high heavens, have you not paid attention to the saga that's been attached to him?
And
he tried getting traded before the season got underway.
And here's the thing. This is not a new thing. It's who Rafi is. This is, and again, not a bad guy per se. I'm not, but he is a difficult locker room thing in a spot where there's a lot that can be brought out by being in Boston. I think time will tell. It would not surprise me 3 years down the road if we think Craig Breslow just fleeced Buster Posey, a brand new GM who didn't work his way up through the GM rankings and just got gifted it because he was the part of the championship team. I think this deal is going to age like spoiled milk for the Giants. It might not be this year, but eventually in the next 3 or 4 years, you're going to regret it. And I think Boston, as long as Boston actually reinvests the money, which they actually do, I think it's going to be fine.
Yeah, they wanted out of the contract. They found a way to get out of the contract. I don't know why people aren't looking at this like the Red Sox are the... I saw all sorts of people today like, you have to boycott the games now. You have to cancel your season tickets. This isn't the ownership you want. They stink. It's over. It's like, no, they'll put the money elsewhere and they'll be fine. You'll be fine, Red Sox fans.
That is the Peterlin Pass. Well done.
The Peterlin Pass.
The Lead, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.